Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
We're still carrying on the series, Bold, Strong, Courageous, and we're looking through the book of Joshua. And so we want to carry on that way. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to anoint your word, and I pray that Holy Spirit, you'll speak to us in a manner that will cause us to make transformative decisions out of what I'm about to share. It's your word, and your word will never return to you void. So I thank you in advance for the fruit that's going to come out of today's message, just like we celebrate all the other messages that have brought fruit, and we pray that fruit will last. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, anybody ever experienced setbacks in life? Let me see some of you. Those whose hands are not up, I think you're about to experience one. Or maybe you don't even understand what a setback is. But setbacks are a part of life, and we get to fail when we're doing some things. But there are also opportunities for us to learn. Last Friday, I had a conversation with a lady I'd met her on one of our campuses, and she says, "Oh, Pastor, I've now been part of the church for just over a year and a half," and she's just so grateful, and she says, "I want to come and meet with you and just share with you some of the things that are on my heart." And when I was having a conversation with her, she was a little slow in her speech, but she really... just someone who seemed to have a lot that God has done in her life. And I said, no problem. Many people will do that but won't follow up. But she did follow up. And last Friday, I had a chat with her. It was such a life-changing conversation for me. As she began to narrate her story, she comes from the poorest region in Uganda. And she made her way to the city and just moved on pushing through life. And then about 18 years ago, she had a fatal accident. And she broke her neck, had a brain injury, and the rest of her body was paralyzed. She was only breathing. And so the doctors did the best to try and save her life. And the only thing they could try to sustain is her breath. And after they kept working and she seemed to have settled, they told her, "Mom, we're so sorry. The rest of your body is paralyzed." And they were communicating. She had lost her speech completely because of the brain injury. And said, "We don't think you'll ever be able to speak again, but at least we are glad you are alive." But how many of you know doctors don't have the final word? God has the final word on anything. And so by God's grace, she began to recover her conscience and her memory began to come back, and she began to learn how to speak again, and that's why her speech is a little bit slow. And then God began to touch her body, and so her left side of her body began to recover slowly until it was really fully recovered. But her right side, which her dominant hand and what she used the most was her right, that one had a very slow progress of healing, and actually is not fully healed. So she said to me, "Pastor, I didn't know that I could learn to use my left hand to do everything my right hand could do." She said that. And then, as we were chatting, she starts to give me a little bit of her career history. And she was successful. She was an HR manager of one of the biggest companies in this city, in this country. And that is not very far away. That is after the accident. And 3 years ago, while we're still working through pandemic, God spoke to her, I want you to make a shift from your career to your calling. And she quit her job, and people thought, what's going on with her? And she started to pursue her calling. Do you know what her calling is? She said to me, this is my calling. I help people climb the ladder towards their dreams. And I do it by speaking. The very thing that the enemy tried to steal from her is the very thing she's using now to help people pursue their dreams. And then she said to me, in the course of my call pursuit, I've met some people who have even thrown away the ladder to their dreams. I help them get that ladder back. What the enemy meant for bad, God can turn it around for good. And I was just sitting there with a miracle. I was just amazed. And you know, I started to think that sometimes the best lessons in life are not when you have succeeded. The best lessons in life are hidden in what we call failure and setbacks. That's where you learn some gold that will help you sustain the success that God will give to you. And when we go to the book of Joshua, we see an incredible trend in this book. We have miraculous momentum happening in the book of Joshua. I mean, Joshua is called to lead. They get ready. They cross miraculously on dry ground, the River Jordan. Great miracle. They get on the other side. Another monumental miracle. God helps them defeat the city of Jericho, which was phenomenal, a strong city with fortified walls. And God says to them, I'm giving you a strategy. All I need you to do is just walk around and shout and see the victory I'll give to you. They did that. Another milestone miracle victory for them. And so the children of Israel are on this miraculous momentum until Joshua chapter 7, where they experience a massive setback. And that's where we want to go to and learn. Listen, the real failure in life is not failure itself, but is the failure to learn from failure. And so we just want to go and dive into Joshua 7, where there is this massive setback, and we get to learn from it so that we don't make the same mistakes. Now, setbacks, mistakes, failures are a part of life. However hard we try not to, we end up failing. But here's the good news. We can learn from the failures of others. Your life cannot be long enough to try and go through all our combined failures in this room. It will be too much for you to try and experience that. But you can learn from other people's experiences. That's what we want to do right here. So Joshua chapter 7, if you have your Bibles. It says, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, did something. He took some of the devoted things. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men to Jericho, from Jericho to Ai, from the victory they had just had, to another city, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel. And he told them, go up, spy out the region. So the men went up and they spied out Ai. AI here is a city, not artificial intelligence. Okay. Just in case. All right. When they returned to Joshua, here's what they said. Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Do not worry all the people, for only a few men are there. It's small, we can manage it. And so Joshua, in his wisdom, said, well, let me not take chances. Let me send 3,000 based on their recommendation. So about 3,000 men went up. But here's what happened. They were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries, and they struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Their strong conviction became like water. What a description. Coming off a miraculous momentum. And here they are, all their conviction like water. Joshua tore his clothes. He fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same, sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Lord, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. It's amazing. Joshua is doing the very same thing the children of Israel had done. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Now here, in the midst of a massive setback, Joshua is also now saying, God, it's better to be back on the other side. Setbacks can mess up anybody. Sometimes those of us who are in leadership put on a face of, you know, a certain confidence, like we can't fail. That's not true. Joshua here, he's also lost his conviction in this God. He's on his face and he's praying, take us back away from the promised land. And then he prays, oh Lord, what can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, we've just experienced a setback. The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? That's where Joshua was. In this massive setback. Verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? There's some of us, we are in the place where Joshua is. We're down on our faces. We're there crying out to God and crying out to God. Sometimes God will show up and say, get out of that depression you're in. Stand up. I'm about to speak to you something you need to know about that setback. It's not just the setback. There's something I want you to learn. And so God gives a lesson in verse 11 that really captures the whole of chapter 7. He says to Joshua, Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. Sin. They turn their backs and run because they've been made liable to destruction. And God says, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. What a chapter. Something I love about the scriptures is they will not hide anything. Scripture brings out things as they are. And it's up to us to glean lessons. And so when you read chapter 7 and beyond, this is the first massive setback that Joshua and that generation of the under 20s that made it into the promised land experienced. And there's some gold in there. And God says to them, the reason you're experiencing this setback is because of sin. So we want to learn some things about why it's important to pay attention to this subject that's sometimes uncomfortable, but we got to talk about sin. Sin, my friends, in our lives will affect that bold vision we want to pursue. Sin will mess up that strong conviction. It will become like water. That's what happened for these children of Israel. Sin will rob the courage out of our lives. And instead of going forward, we want to go backward. That's what sin will do. So what is it about sin that we need to pay attention to in this book of Joshua, chapter 7? Number one, please understand, no sin can be hidden from God. No sin can be hidden from God. From what we've just read, Joshua was ignorant that there was sin in the camp. He had no idea. It was hidden. But sin can be hidden from man, but not from God. And so, here's the thing, my friends. Sometimes, Satan deceives us that the sin you only know and nobody else knows is okay. You can carry on with it. And just because nobody else knows, the deception is that things will be okay. And we also tend to categorize sin. And so, you know, the thing that is really sin is the one that the public condemns as sin. And so the whole of the city will say, corruption is wrong. We all are corrupt. How can you be corrupt? But the one nobody knows, that's okay. You can keep it. This story shows us that, my friends, no sin is hidden from God. It may be invisible to others, but is very visible to God. He sees it. He knows it. You know, the Bible says God took them through an exercise in Joshua chapter 7, the other verses. Says, he told Joshua, get the people and in the morning, let them present themselves tribe by tribe. And then that tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward clan by clan. And then it became, once the clan is set aside, that clan shall come forward family by family. And then as the families come forward, the Lord shall then take it to man by man. God took them through a process to come up from what is corporate acceptable sin to a personal confrontation, what was on the inside. And that's where God wants us to pay attention to, my friends. What is it that goes on behind closed doors? That can really mess up that bold vision. It can begin to water down your strong conviction. It can begin to suck the courage out of your life. And instead of going forward, you are going back. You're wishing like going back. Secret sin is destructive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. You know, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. No sin is hidden from God. So what must we do when it comes to appreciating that truth? Don't only do right just because others are watching. Because what people can't see, God can see. Don't deceive yourself that what I do in private stays private. God sees what happens in private. The things that go on in our hearts behind closed doors can hurt us. No sin is hidden from God. Even that one that we won't see, you carry hatred and bitterness, you carry evil desire against people. You may smile with them, you may hug them, you may even be generous towards them, but God sees what's going on inside. Because sometimes people do that, but after they've gone, they're saying, I wish bad happens to them. God sees that. The second lesson we can draw out of this story, apart from hidden sin, because Achan, in this story, Achan took the devoted things and he hid them under his house. He dug a hole, put them right under there. Nobody could see. Every day was normal. He woke up. I don't even know if it was part of those who went to spy. I have no idea. But he lived like everybody else. But there was something that was hidden. Nothing can be hidden for. But the second lesson is this. Sin always leads to destruction. Sin always, my friends, leads to destruction. The book of James, in chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, shows us the progression of sin and how it leads to destruction. It says, verse 14, people are tempted when they are drawn away and trapped by their own evil desires. Starts from the heart. Those evil desires. But those evil desires don't stay in the heart. It says, then their evil desires conceive and give birth to sin. Now it ceases to be a desire. It translates to action. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to what? Death, destruction. My friend, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin always leads to destruction. And it may start from the inside and we respond to it and act on it. Here, this is what the Bible says, the process is in the heart and then it's conceived, then we act on it and it leads to destruction. But Satan deceives us that no. That desire that is in your heart actually is good. God doesn't want you to enjoy. He's a mean God. He's keeping you from enjoying life. That's what he did for Eve in the garden. Said the reason God doesn't want you to eat the fruit is God knows that when you eat the fruit, your eyes will be open. You'll be able to see things. And I mean, you'll experience things you've never experienced before. And that's Satan's lie. And so what do? We act on sin and that we act on that evil desire. And that evil desire, instead of us calling it sin, we start to call it pleasure. It starts to be enjoyable. And so we enjoy it the first time. And Satan comes and he whispers to us, don't you see? Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy? That's what you've been missing. And now that first level of pleasure, instead of pausing, leads us to desiring even more. And we end up doing more of the wrong. Because Satan says, okay, that desire, God is just keeping you away from it. You do it, you receive a bit of pleasure. Like, oh, it's pleasurable, but I'm not sure. Just do some more again. Then it becomes even more pleasure, but keeps you empty, wanting more. And you end up destroying your life. Oh, no, you know what? You only get to live once. So just go for it. But the end is always destruction. In verse 21 of Joshua, this is what happened. 7, verse 21, chapter 7, verse 21. This is what happened to Achan. In the middle of a miraculous victory, this is what he says. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, beautiful clothes, he saw 200 shekels of silver. He saw a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. Like, wow. God is telling us to destroy and leave these things. Let me take some for myself. And he thought it would just end with hiding it. And maybe Achan was thinking that, boy, we're going to get to the future. I'm going to show these people. They're going to see me buying things. They'll start to admire me. No. Instead, here's what happened. This is how sin leads to destruction. First thing it did, it destroyed the relationship with God. And that's what sin does. Sin will destroy our relationship with God. That sin affected God's relationship with the people of Israel. Sin will always affect our relationship with God. Listen to what verse 12 says. Joshua chapter 1 verse 12. God says, I will not be with you anymore. This is the same God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But because of sin, God says, I cannot be with you. That's how bad sin is. In fact, Isaiah says, God's hand is not too short to save. Neither is God's ear too dull to hear. But sin comes in the way. Sin affects our relationship with God. But sin also, it will destroy our family and our dear relationships. That's what sin does. It will impact our closest and most dearest relationships. It breaks them apart. Families, sin can mess us up. Husbands, wife, it can mess up your relationship, mess up relationship in the family with the kids, children. When we allow sin in our lives, messes up our relationship with our families, with our siblings. I mean, friends, yeah, when you know what sin can do to those dear relationships, breaks them apart. For Achan, in this story, it was so sad that his one action to steal what belonged to God and hide it had an impact on his entire family. Sin will destroy our families and our dear relationships. But also sin will destroy a nation. The entire nation lost some of its fighting men. They lost a battle to a very weak city. It wasn't because they were not strong. It wasn't because God couldn't defeat the enemy on their behalf. He had just done it. Sin impacted the entire nation. I've seen people debating here in Uganda about marriage. And I've seen some pastors who are advocating for marriage that accepts polygamous behavior. I have seen how they are trying to tactfully market polygamy. And you think when the nation embraces that, God will continue to bless us? Let me tell you what that is. A very attack on the foundation of this country, which is the family. Amen. People's wrong behavior, however much they justify it, if it does not line up with God's word, we're going to say no to it. God told Joshua, do not turn from this word to the left or to the right. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but not his word. We're told to family, let's stick and fight for what God says in his word. Let's not edit it. Let's not add on to it. Let's not try to justify our sin. Because that's what I've seen. Oh, where does it say? You take them, they read the words of Jesus. They say, oh, no, that was... I mean, it is crazy. And the moment we start to compromise a little bit, we can hurt our nation. These are some lessons from Joshua chapter 7. Sin leads, always leads to destruction. So first lesson, nothing is hidden from God. No sin is hidden from God. He sees everything. Secondly, sin will always lead to destruction. As I was praying through this message, you know, Holy Spirit was beginning to nudge me. And he said, this message is going to make some people uncomfortable. But that's okay. I want them to hear it because I have a great future for them. And I want them to know that sin can mess up that future. I want them to know that. So, anyways, nothing's hidden from God. He sees all sin. Sin can destroy your relationship with God, with one another as a nation. But finally, from this story, we learn that God is just. God is just. Now, when we think about the justice of God, we usually only think about God's punishment for sin. But here's the justice of God. When we acknowledge our sin and confess our sin, God is just. He will forgive sin. He will forgive our sin. He sticks to his word. You see, for the nation of Israel, when the sin was acknowledged and dealt with, guess what? Victory started to happen again. There is no sin that is beyond the redemptive love of God, my friends. No sin. And so, even though the message may make you uncomfortable, I want to comfort you by knowing that if we are honest enough to acknowledge that sin in our lives, that may even not be known by others, but God knows. He knows it all. If we are willing to come clean and say, God, this is it in my life, and it's been haunting me, I've kept it, and no one knows, but I know, God, you know. And sometimes I'm enjoying it, but I know it leaves me more and more empty. God, I come to you and I ask you for mercy. Would you forgive me? Listen, my friends, God will hear and he will forgive. He will redeem. He will restore. That's what he did for the children of Israel. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and what? He is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on! Come on! That's God's justice. He did it for the children of Israel. He'll do it for you. Just before Pastor Brian comes up, I was just thinking about the story of David. David was known as a man after God's own heart, but some of the things that made David a man after God's own heart is how he dealt with sin in his life. People who are in power and authority can cover up sin because sometimes they think they don't have any further accountability. David was like that. After being chosen by God to be king, David committed the sin of adultery. He tried to cover it up. What did he do? He covered it up by committing more sin. God, Bathsheba's husband, one of his faithful generals, was fighting for him. See how it begins to mess up a relationship. Put him on the front line until he's killed. He did that. I mean, sin is such a disorder. This is a person who fights for you. Because of sin, you want him dead to cover up. He did that. Until he was confronted about his sin. And God says, I'm just. There's going to be consequences for your sin. David lost that baby. It broke his heart. But here's what the Bible says. David came back to God. He cried out, oh Lord, only against you have I sinned. Have mercy. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Please, God, don't take me away from your presence. I need you. And then he prayed, restore the joy of salvation. And God did it. That's why Jesus is Son of David. Redemptive love. Yes, sin will give us setbacks, but here's the gospel. God sent his son Jesus to deal with the sin problem. God is faithful, and I know we shall win with God's love on our side. Amen? Pastor Brian.
Amazing. Thank you, Pastor Julius. Come on, can we thank God for his word today? Wow. Let's thank Pastor Julius for sharing God's word with such courage and clarity. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for your word. It's a sobering word. We receive it today. And Lord, I pray, may you set us free according to your word. We want to live our lives for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I want to ask you this question. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive you of your sin? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Jesus came to sort the sin problem. We couldn't sort it out. We were slaves to sin. But Jesus, who was sinless and perfect, broke the power of sin over our lives, died on the cross to take the punishment that was meant for us. He took it upon himself. And today, When you ask him to forgive you and you surrender your life to him, the Bible says your sins will be forgiven. You become a child of God. You receive everlasting life. You are born again. And none of us will enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. This is the greatest promise, salvation through Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this place, you say, Brian, today's my day. I give my heart to Jesus. I surrender my life to Jesus. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow, lift up your hand. You're surrendering your life to Jesus. You want him to forgive you of your sin. You want to be born again. Lift up your hand, because you're lifting it to him, not to any of us. It's only Jesus who saves. Lift up your hand to him. Say, Jesus, here is my life. Forgive me. Save me. Change me. Thank you. Jesus sees that hand. God richly bless you. Would you lift up your hand? Surrender your life to Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. Jesus sees that hand. We can't save ourselves. We need Jesus to forgive us, break the power of sin off of our lives, and give us everlasting life, a brand new life. Would you lift up your hand to Jesus? You're in this place. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. You're joining us online. You say, Brian, today's my day. I surrender my life to Jesus. Do it right now. Would you lift up an emoji of a hand in the comment section right now and type, I give my life to Jesus. Do it right now. This is the best decision you'll ever make. The most important decision. You're joining us on air. Would you do it right now in that room where you are? Jesus is right there. Lift up your hand to him. Lift up your hand to him. We're going to pray in a moment. Maybe you're here and you're recommitting your life to Jesus. Thank you, my sister. God bless you. Maybe you're recommitting your life to Jesus right now. You'd lost your way, but you're coming back to Jesus. Saying, Lord, I leave my life of sin behind me. I want to follow you. Forgive me. Change me. Save me. Lift up your hand. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. You know you need to come back to Jesus. Lift up your hand. Jesus loves you. Jesus will never push you away. He died on the cross for you. You lift up your hand. Recommit your life to Jesus. Here in person, upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow, you're recommitting your life to Jesus. Do it right now. Online, you're recommitting your life to Jesus. Lift up an emoji of a hand right there and just type, I recommit my life to Jesus. Do it right now. On air, would you lift up your hand in that room where you are? This is the very last call. Are you here? And you need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. To recommit your life to him. Do it. He loves you. He loves you. You've lifted up your hand. Here's what I want you to do right now. Would you pray this prayer after me? And mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart. Because as you pray this prayer, you're making a personal commitment to Jesus. Now, church, let's all pray together. Let's encourage our brothers and sisters making this commitment to Jesus. As loud as we can, everyone saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I am born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life. Come on, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen, amen. Thank you for praying that prayer. Thank you for receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Welcome to the family of God. Watoto Church, one more time, let's celebrate with heaven every miracle of salvation in Jesus' name. A friend of mine is going to connect with you here in person. We would love to just meet you at the end of the service. Just 5 minutes of your time. Celebrate the decision you've made and share with you how you can grow to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Online, will you click that link that's just appearing in the chat section right now? Leave us your name and number. We're going to call you today. We want to get in touch with you and as well begin to walk this journey with you on air. Would you send us a quick email to connect@watotochurch.com and let us know, Watoto Church, I gave my life to Jesus today during the celebration service. We want to get in touch with you. We want to disciple you. We want to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Amazing. We are so excited for you. Your best days are not behind you, they are ahead of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,